Okay, we are up to Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. We are up to Pasuk Yud. Okay, before we go to Pasuk Yud, we have to do the Rashis. We didn't do the Rashis, some very important Rashis.
Pasuk
K. In Pasuk, so let's go back to Pasuk K, okay? No, we were before Pasuk K. Let's go back, we didn't do... we did Lefnei Hashem, that we did. Pasuk Dal. Let's go to Pasuk. It's a very important Rashi, Pasuk Dalet. Vayelech David, as soon as he became king, as soon as he was anointed, everyone came together and they coronated him as king. He went to battle. The first item on the agenda was to conquer Yerushalayim, to make it the capital of Yehuda and of Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk says, "Vayelech David v'chol Yisrael Yerushalayim ki Yevus." It was originally known as Yevus. V'sham haYevusi Yeshvei Aretz, and they challenged David, "Don't you dare think of conquering this city." Rashi, "Holach miyad lamilchama." Immediately, first item on the agenda, he went to war. Kishim lichu kol Yisrael. Why? Shelo yoymu Yisrael kol hamilchama she'asa David b'mei Shaul noitzeach mazoloi shel Shaul haya. The only reason why you were successful when you were the chief in command, the chief officer under the authority of Shaul, was because of his mazel. Okay, they were very into mazel in those days. Even today, it's a certain mazel that it was the administration of Shaul, and that's why you were successful. But now that you
depends on
mazel. It's true. I call the mazel. It's right. Afilu sefer Torah shebeheichel. Even which sefer Torah you take out is the mazel. V'ata doeg lilochem. Now we see you're reluctant to go to war. You're afraid that it's not your administration. It's not your malchus. You're not going to succeed. Therefore, to show them that that's not so. Lekach holach miyala milchama. Immediately he went to war. This was the first item on his agenda. It's a very powerful idea, and that is why David went right away to show them that it's not because I was under this living in the shadow of Shaul. I have my own reason for success, and if I'm going to prove it to you, pasuk hey, vayomu Yoshua. So pasuk hey told us that the people Yoshua Yevus said to David, "Don't you dare think of coming here. You're not going to succeed." Now this pasuk here in Divrei Hayam is very short on details. In Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Shmuel Beis, the book of Shmuel Beis, there are much more details provided. In fact, let me read to you some of the details, because everything here is missing. And that's important, it's a very important thing to understand. It's Shmuel Beis, Perek Hei, the beginning of Perek Hei. Okay, Rashi is going to mention some of the details. Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei. Okay, here it is. Vayelech Hamelech v'anashav Yerushalayim el Hayevusi Yoshev Aretz. Okay, the people of the king and the people went to Yevusi, to Yerushalayim, known as Yevusi, Yoshev Aretz. Vayomer lo David leimar. The people said to David, saying, okay, the people of Yevus, the people that were living in Yerushalayim, said David, saying, lo sovo heina, don't dare come here, ki im hesircha ho'avirim v'hapischim leimar. Unless you want to remove the blind and the lame. Lo yavo David heima. David will not come here. This is what they said. Unless you're going to remove the blind and the lame, saying, David will not come here. Pasuk Zayin. Vayilko David eis mitzudah sion. He ear David. That we had the same thing here. Vayomu David vayomahu. Kol ma'ke yivusi v'yiga bat sinar. Sinar is an unusual word. The word sinar appears in Shmuel, but does not appear in Divrei Hayamim. The Abarbanel has a discussion, because it's a very interesting idea that there are words, general idea for the entire Divrei Hayamim, relative to what we're going to learn. We spend much time now learning through comparing Shmuel versus Malachim. There are words that appear in the stories in Shmuel and Malachim, do not appear in Divrei Hayamim, because they are no longer popular words. The Abarbanel says, an amazing idea. It fell out of use. They're Hebrew words, and they're legitimate words, but it's not the way people spoke at the time of the Bayis Sheni. So when Ezra and Nehemiah put together Divrei Hayamim, they chose to speak in the popular language, the popular vernacular, the popular words, and therefore the word sinar. Right, it's an amazing thing to say such a thing. So that's what it says. Vayiga b'tzinar. Over here, the sinar means the tower, the mitzuda. and the mitzinor and mitzuda are identical. What? It means a payeh, but in this context it means, the mitzuda sion here says, it means a shem hamigdol. Batzinor, shem, the name of a migdol of the tower. So you want to say it's a specific tower? So the Abarbanel, you have to look at the Abarbanel. And it's seen the es and whoever will reach the tzinor, the tower, the es ha-pischim, the es ho-ivrim. Now here the pasuk says that these two things, the pischim and the ivrim, are sinuei nefesh David. They are hated by the soul of David. Very strange. What are these things here, the blind and the lame, which are hated by David? He will be rewarded with reward. And here it's interesting, and Shmuel does not tell us what the reward is. In Sefer Divrei Hayom, it tells us the reward is he'll be a sar or a rosh. Al kein yomru iver ufisech lo yavo, because they yomru, because the people are saying the iver and the bisech lo yavo habayis will not come to, will not come within this city. Now, what do these things mean? So, according to the mitzudos, on a very simple level, the iver, the blind, and the pisach is just an expression, meaning that we are so tough, we are so mighty, even the blind and the lame will fight against you, David. Normally, in a regular city, if a person, Achon Lassan, is blind or they're lame, they're not going to participate in battle, they're not going to defend the city, they're exempt from war. But here in Yevusi, everyone is so devoted to the city, even the blind and the lame are going to participate in battle. And if David, you want to fight, you have to know you're going to fight even with the blind and the lame. This is what it says in the Mitzudos. Let me read you what it says here very quickly. The blind and the lame. Ki'im hesircha amar b'derech haflaga. It's an exaggeration. The guzma, lo sucha lovo heina ki... You can't come here unless you will remove mipo kol hanashim. You'll have to fight against every single person, including the afho ivrim, the apischem, even the blind and the lame. Ki im yishar mi mehem hayecholas biyadim laake biyaschab. Even they are going to hold you back from coming into the city. Bavur godul choizek hamakom, because we are so powerful with so many. Even that's the simple interpretation. Yeah.
Or like, we will resist you to the last.
Exactly. Now Chazal have a whole different interpretation of this. The Radak really elaborates on this very much, and it refers to two idols that were erected at the entrance of the city. One was called Piseach, and one was called Iver. Piseach was mocking Yaakov, because of the story, Vayeovik Ish Imo Adalos Hashach Vayiga Bekaf Yerecho, the Sidna Shel Esav inflicted damage in the thigh of Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov, in their eyes, was a Piseach, was a lame person. They had a big statue, a statue of Yaakov. He was the Pesach. The Iver is Yitzchak, because the Torah says, "Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak v'techena einav meraos." He could not see, so he was the Pesach. These were the two statues that appeared in the front of the city, and they were idols. They were idols, and they were worshipped. And on these idols was etched the Shvuah of Avraham. All the others. Avraham Avinu promised Avimelech that he made a matzeva, and a shvua, that for a number of generations he will not attack the Plishtim, he will let them live in peace, even though Hashem promised this land is the property of Avraham and his descendants. But Yevusi, the city of Yerushalayim, can go to the descendants of Avimelech. So really, it's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yitzchak and Yaakov are depicted in these two statues, which are being worshipped, and etched on these statues were the Shavuah of Avraham to Avimelech, that he's going to leave this land alone. And therefore, it's not ethical. Bad PR. You're not going to be able to come into the city and conquer the city, because you're going to have to go up against Avodah Zarah. That's what it means. So therefore, this was hated by David. It was hated by David because it was a lie. Why was it a lie? Because it expired. There was a timeline of how long Avraham agreed that he would not conquer this land. Avraham knew that ultimately he would have to conquer this land because it was the gift to his descendants. And when he made a shvuah to Avimelech, it was only for a certain number of generations, which had expired. and it was over. And now the Pelishtim were making up lies and claiming that it never really expired. And they mocked Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in this ugly way by making them into idols and worshipping these things. So he was hated by David, and he told whoever will come into the city and conquer and knock down these idols will be rewarded. Okay, let me read you the Rashi here. I'll read you the Rashi here. The Radak, he elaborates more, but let me read you the Rashi here in Sefer Shmuel, and then we'll see what it says over here in our Rashi. It's a little bit different. Rashi here says, Yevusi mitzuda sion nikres Yevus umizar shel Avimelech hayu. The people that lived in Yevus were the descendants of Avimelech. This is what Rashi, again, in Sefer Shmuel, Perek Beis, says, V'hoyu lohem shnei tzelamim. They had two idols. Shein echad iver. The name of one idol was called blind. The echad piseach shenasu al shem Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Uvipihem, and in their mouth, either through magic or through it was actually written on their mouth, hashavua, the oath shenishba Avraham li'Avimelech, that I'm not going to conquer your land. Ulekach, therefore lo horisham. Yeshua says that they were unable to conquer this Yerushalayim. Why were they unable to conquer? Not because they physically could not conquer, but because there was a shvu in place with Tam Avraham Avinu that they would not conquer. They were not permitted. But now it came to an end. The time ulanini ulanechti, and now they were permitted. Now let's, with that in mind, let's go take a look at what Rashi here says in our pasuk. Pasuk, hey. Doesn't say here why. You see over here in Sefer Devarim, this typical what we learn now, the rest of Devarim, we're going always contrasting what it says in Shmuel and Malachim versus Devarim. Over here we're missing all the details. Uv Shmuel Beis Perikay Mufarish Vayomer LeDavid Lo Sovahena Ki Im Hisircha. Meaning the Rashi here in our pasuk in Devarim over here in pasuk Hey Ki Im Hisircha HaAvirim VeHapesich VeHapischem. Unless you remove the blind and the lame, Rohu Shlo Yachlu Lamo Lefnei David. The Nasnu, they saw. Now, so what does this mean? They saw that David, the people of Yevus, saw that. Yerushalayim saw that they're going to be wiped out. So what do they do? Yishayachlum lefnei David. The Nasnu, avirim upischim lefnei shar ho'ir, lemar, lo yavo David heima, ki im yilochim im ho'ivrim halalu. So Rashi here is learning the, not like what it says the Rashi in Shmuel. And that's also one of the indications that the one who wrote the Rashi in Divrei Hayom is not the real Rashi. We know that everyone says the same thing. It's an anonymous commentator. We don't know who the Rashi is. Somehow we got the title Rashi, but it does not bear to be Rashi. Or if you really want to say it's Rashi, he's really deviating from what he said in Sefer Ayin Panim LaTorah. Rashi and Shmuel, like we've mentioned many times, is very midrashic. He goes away from the pshat and he goes more into the deeper midrashim. Here he's learning the psukim and Shmuel according to a very simple translation. The people of Yevusi, they said you're not going. They made human shields. That's really what it was all about. Just like today, if you go and you put women and children in front of the gate and you tell you dare your enemy, go and attack us. Yeah, you go and shoot down the women and children. You know what the PR is going to be. When that happens, it's exactly what they did. They put blind and lame people at the gate of the city. If you want to go attack us, you're first going to have to go kill these people, and therefore it's not going to be in your best interest. That's exactly what they did. Human shields. It'll be a disgrace for the king to go and wipe out innocent people. And therefore, David will have no choice but to retreat. For lo yilochim mohem, v'David amar b'libo emesu. He's right. Human shields. What am I going to do? It's going to be a disgrace. But on the other hand, I have to conquer Yerushalayim. This is this capital of Eretz Yisrael. Emesu ki lo nachon v'hagun li yilochim im ha'ivim v'im pischem. Ach. So what am I going to do? I need a solution. Anyone that will come along and help me figure out how to get through this solution, he will be rewarded. So, according to Rashi, so let's go further. They'll be able to go through the tsinor, misham, as ho'ivrim, anyone that can reach the tsinor, Again, it's not clear what this sinner is. Sinner literally means a pipe. Maybe it means to be able to tunnel through. Maybe that's what it means, to be able to go underneath or through like a pipe which bypasses. Maybe that's the deeper meaning of a pipe, to bypass the human shield of the blind and the lame and reach the real enemy, the real soldiers, and conquer. I will greatly reward them. But again, according to the simple translation, sinner means it's the name of a tower. Anyone that will be able to succeed in reaching the tower, the fortress where the army is stationed, and bypass the human shield will be rewarded. That's what it means in Shul when it says the Iver and the Besech said they were speaking there at the edge of the city. You may now come to the Bais. El Bais David Shayelo Gnai Pen Yomu Im Elu Nilcham David. It'll be a Gnai that people will say that David went and he killed innocent people. You have the same thing with Malchus Shiva. There was a story with Shlomo. When Shlomo came to a city of only women, and they outsmarted Shlomo. Right. They said, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us? It's not covered to go fight with women. So it's no big deal to overpower women. So they were able somehow to outsmart, whatever, I don't remember the whole Gemara, Shlomo.
No, it wasn't Shlomo? No, it was Alexander
the Great? Mm-hmm. Alexander the Great, okay. So these different stories, the same idea. So what happened? Pasuk Ches. So then what happened? Yoav was able to succeed. Yoav. So you have to fill in with the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that Yoav, he catapulted himself on the shoulders of David. In other words, that they bypassed the blind and the lame by putting themselves in human cannons, human slingshots. And they basically flew, they propelled themselves over these people, entered into the center of the city, and waged war against the army. And then from within, once they won the army, inside the city, and of course, the blind and the lame, they just fell to the side. And David had a lot of tsar, because David really wanted to be the one that would conquer. It was very symbolic. Who's going to conquer Yerushalayim? They seem to have outsmarted David with the human shields. And Yoav was the one that was able, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle, according to the Medrash. And the wall sunk. I don't know all the Midrashim, but David also had some role in conquering the city due to a miracle of the wall sinking. And that really is alluded to it in the Psukim here, because it mentions that after they conquered the city, who built up the city? Yoav built the inside of the city, and David took care of the outside of the city. It corresponded to their conquest, because Yoav conquered from within, and David miraculously conquered from the outside. And the Ivrim, the Pisrim, they served as some type of human shield barrier, which prevented David from going and fighting with them directly. Yoav was propelled like Noah Parrish. They dropped him out of a plane. They dropped him down. He conquered from within. David miraculously, we don't know the details, was able to do something on the outside, and that's how they built up the city. Okay, Pasuk Ches, he was rewarded. V'yov yichaya es she'or ha'ir. David built the outside from the milo and the saviv, the wall and the area within the wall. And Yoav, he built the inside. Hu bane v'hichzik livnos bitkei ha'chayim. To see this word bitkei was the same word we had yesterday in the mitzudos, the bedek habayis, or the small walls of the city. Dugma b'ezra hecheyu es ho'avonim me'aremos he'afar. We have in Nehemiah a similar expression. Ezra gave life. He blew life into the old stones. The old rubble that was lying in the corner, that was lying there from the time of the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, Nehemiah took those old stones and he blew life into them by using them to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. So that concludes the basic interpretation. Now let me read you some of the Midrashim. And then we'll go on to the Giboyrim. Okay, we have over here, Vayal Barishayna Tzruya Vayihil Rosh. So here, in fact, is the Medrash. Okay, let me read you the Medrash that tells us about it's a Medrash Tehillim, Mizmar Yud Ches. Very quickly, Rabbi Chiyo B'Shem Rabbi Levi Omar, B'Shosh Omar David Li Yisrael, La'asos Mulchama Im Anshe Yivus, Hischilo Imer, Kol Make Yivusi B'Rishona Yiyeh L'Rosh Ulusar. That's the pasuk we have over here, the reward. Only in Divrei Hayamim do we have reward. That's a fascinating insight. God's saying to look at the difference. Always, all the Mepharshim are trying so hard to decipher the deeper message of Divrei Hayamim by comparing what it says in Divrei Hayamim versus what it does not say in Sefer Shmuel and vice versa. And what's interesting is that in Divrei Hayamim it talks about rewards, whereas in Sefer Shmuel there is no mention of reward. It's a silent pasuk. Whoever will succeed in conquering Yevus, something will happen to. It doesn't say what's going to happen. Here it says clearly the reward will be a rosh or a sar. Me'asa yov, hevi birosh echad, ra'anon, he brought a tree, a certain type of soft tree, which was pliable. It can be bent. Ukivoho b'tzad ha'choyma, and he thrust this tall pole into the ground on the outside of the wall. The kofaf roshoy, and he bent it. Shoyirach, the ochaz bo David. Who was the one that held it down for him? David. David was helping his nephew Yoav. The kofatz Yoav al rosh David. Yoav jumped on the shoulders of David. The nisla babarosh, and he rose to the top of the piece of wood. And then David let go, and boom, he catapulted himself all the way into the center of the city, bypassing the Iver and the Piseach. Now, when that happened, Vedidlik Alachoma, and he entered the city and he began his battle. David had Chalishas Hadas, because this was the most symbolic battle of the whole Eretz Yisrael, the final conquest of Yerushalayim. So what happened? Omar David, Yehelneini Tzadik Chesed, V'yechicheni. May the tzaddik show me kindness and prove to me, referring to Hashem. Hashem here is the tzaddik. He's praying to Hashem, I also want to participate in this battle. May also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when David pleaded with Hashem, the tzaddik, that he also shall show him kindness and prove that he is deserving of Hashem's closeness, Kitzer esachome, miraculously the wall sunk. The Ola David Achav, and David was able to enter into the city directly. Shenemar, we take a pasuk, that's what it says during that peri bizmo yudches, uvelokai adaleg shur. And through my belief in Hashem, through my emun in Hashem, I will jump over the wall. So here we have both parties, Yoav and David. Yoav is fighting from within. David is fighting from the outside. Yoav was able to enter al derech hateva. David entered the outside lemala miderech hateva. And then when they went to build the city, Yoav built the inside of the city. David took care of the outside of the city. Obviously, all of this is very symbolic. It's very symbolic in the conquest of Yerushalayim was a joint venture. Yoav and David, inside Teva, outside Lamalam Derech HaTeva, through the Koyach HaTzvila. Nehemiah focused primarily on the walls. Interesting, always focusing on the outside. There's something to the outside, the perimeter of the city, which represents protection, represents Shmira, Mechitza, and that we see over here. And again, not to forget this other fascinating idea of the Iver and the Piseach. What does it mean? Either it means a human shield, either or it's an avodah zarah, or it's just an expression of haflaga, that everyone in the city, every last man, is going to fight you to the very end. And David was able to overcome and win Yerushalayim through these very significant battles. Okay, that can, now we have another medrash. Vayiven ho'ir misaviv min hasilo v'yad hasaviv. What does it mean that David went and built the city from the outside? The Medrash says, "Kishalochad also David hiskel livnos es Yerushalayim hu elyoino v'asa choyma achas behekef v'sibeb ulelyoino uletachtona v'nasu shtehem l'shem echad Yerushalayim." So there's a very important Medrash which explains what it means saviv. One more time, the pasuk here, pasuk ches, vayiven ho'ir misaviv, he built the city from around, min hamilo v'ad ha-saviv. I don't know exactly the deeper meaning of milo and saviv, but the Medrash seems to say that the word saviv is a combination is now where David unified the two parts of the city. We all know that Yerushalayim comes from Sholem, Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, and was also Bahar Hashem Yeroheh. There was an adjacent city that was named by Avraham, Bahar Hashem Yeroheh, and there were two adjacent cities. Here, according to the Medrash, the critical Medrash, is where David now unified the city. When he conquered Yevus, the deeper meaning of Saviv is he surrounded, he put up a new wall which encompassed, which enclosed, unified the Sholem of Shem and the Yireh of Avraham Avinu, and made into what we know now as Yerushalayim. Okay?
This Medrash isn't the same as...
No, this is Oitzer HaMidrashim, Eisenstein, the Eisenstein edition, page 486. It's a very significant Medrash. Here is the moment. He's reading that into the Medrash, this famous concept that we are aware of. Derech Agav, now, an idea, why shouldn't the city be called Sholem Yeru? We discussed this in the beginning of the summer. We learned about Yerushalayim. Well, did we? I don't even remember. At some point in time, we discussed the significance of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is two cities. Yeru is short for Yireh, Bahar Hashem Yeroheh, and Sholem is the city of Malkei Tzedek Melech Sholem Hotzi Lechem V'Yayin. Should it not be Shalom Yeru? Who came first? Malki Tzedek came first. He had the city. He was the first one to give the name of Sholem, and then came Avraham Avinu, who gave it the name, who named a different city, the other section called Yeru. So if we're going to enclose them both, we should follow chronological order. It should be Sholem Yeru. So the answer is, there are many different answers, but the basic idea is, Kol mi sheyirasai kodemis lichachmasai chachmasai kodemis. V'chol mi shechachmasai kodemis liyirasai ein chachmasai miskayemis. Mishnah Perek Yerah says that Yirah Shemayim is the most important thing. This week's parasha is in reference to Amalek, v'lo yorei Elokim. Sholem represents the concept of Shlemus. Shlemus in all matters of life. And the ultimate thing to be complete in is in Chochmah. That is what differentiates man over animal. Man has the koyach of das. Ato cholmein la'odam das. Malame le'nashpina. This is Chochmah. So Reish Chochmah is Yiras Hashem. So the emphasis, when you put the two together, Shlemus in life, when we say kol shechachmas kodemes, it means success in life. Chachmas doesn't only mean chachma, but also means you use your chachma to achieve, to success, to complete, to achieve shleimus. But if your success in life is not preceded with yirah shamayim, the end will be you'll have nothing. So since Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hochi Let, that was his mistake. He baruch Avram lekel elyon. He first praised Avram before he praised Hashem. Avram was successful. He went to battle. He accomplished great things. He defeated the four kings, who in turn defeated the five kings. And Avraham expressed, Ki ato yadati ki yirei elokim atav lechasach das bin chasichet chamimeni. Avraham, you're Shemayim. When we now come to put these two things together, when we're coming to make Sholem, what goes first? Yeru comes first. Yiru comes first before Sholem. Alright, I think it's very, very nice message, very important to keep that in mind, what it says here, Saviv, middle of the Rayamim, bringing together the two parts of the city. Okay, now we go to one more medrash. B'yoyav yichaye eshar ho'ir. How did Yoav, what is when Yoav gave life to the other part of the city? So just basically means, the medrash says, it's a Gemara, in fact it's from Sanhedrin Taf Mentes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda afilu minunei vitzachanta toim pareitz luhu. He supported the poor people. He sent the poor people fish, and minunei means fish, small fish. He distributed to the poor people. It basically means that Yoav was a mayor par excellence. He was a very good mayor. He provided social services. Was he a Democrat or Republican? I don't know. But he was a very successful mayor, and he took care of the inhabitants of the city. He gave life. He gave life to the people that lived in the city. Okay, I don't know the significance of that Gemara. You have to look up the Gemara. It's in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Tes. I'm sure there's a lot of deep meaning in that. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Yud. Ve'ele roshei hagibarim asher lidavid hamis chazkim imo v'malchuso, who strengthened, who assisted David in strengthening his malchus in Kol Yisrael le'amlicho, together with everyone in Kol Yisrael who assisted in making, in establishing his malchus, in called kedvar Hashem al Yisrael. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos. Let's see what it says. Pasuk Yud Malchuso bedvar hamalchus hayu mischas kimimo ledaber alev Yisrael. These giborim that we're going to list now to the end of the parak, a long list, about 30-40. How many Gibar are there? I'll tell you exactly. It's a long list. It's important to know because we're going to compare this to what it says in the end of Shmuel. There's a fantastic chart here in the art scroll, Divrei Hayamim 37. They're going to be a list now of 37 Giborim. And these 37 Gibar, the Mitzuda says they were influential people who spoke to the entire, they went out into the streets and they campaigned for David. It wasn't a simple thing that all of a sudden there's a new king in town, everyone should accept David. It wasn't like that in ancient times. Ancient times, people did whatever they wanted. Every block, there was a king. There was a warlord. Like what goes on today in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Every neighborhood, there's someone in charge here. Don't think you just can do what you want. There's no government that's going to control us. Every block has a king. That's how it was in ancient times. It was no small feat that everyone in Klal Yisrael would accept David HaMelech as their king. He needed assistance. Who assisted him? 37 people. 37 people assisted him. That's going to be presented now, and each one is significant. And we're going to see a lot of stories relating to each one. And this list appears with shinuyim, different changes, and different names, and different variations of spelling, and different people in some places, at the very end of Shmuel Beis. Okay, so we're now, you know, we're jumping around. The Ezra, when he's putting together Divrei Hayamim, he's trying to take bits and pieces from here and there. He's taking from all different sections of Shmuel and putting it together in a new order. So here are the people. The Mitzuda says that these 36 people, they were influential people. They spoke Alev Yisrael, Hamlicho Kmo Shadibur Hashem al Yisrael, like Hashem spoke concerning Yisrael, Shuhu Yimlech Aleim. They had to bring the message of Hashem to the population that they should accept David as their king. Let us see Rashi. Rashi says, there is no Rashi. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Eile Mispar Hagiborim. Here are the number, the Mispar Hagiborim that are Asher David. First one on the list is Yeshavam ben Chachmoni. That's the first one. He was the Rosh. Now, what's the Kri V'chsiv? HaShalishim. He was the head of the 30. Now, Shalishim simply means the captains. Okay, we have that in Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir, the word Shalishim al-Kulo, captains. And that's simply what it means over here. Some of Farshim want to learn that in this context it means 30. That they were arranged, there were 30 leaders. There were leaders, groups of leaders. And he was the head of one of these groups called the Shalishim. Besides captains, but it literally also means 30 people. There was an office, and the office had 30 employees. And this person was in charge of those 30 employees. What did they do? They did some function in the government of David HaMelech. What it was, it's not clear. But here we have a story about him. What was his might? Who Orer Eschaniso? He woke up. Orer means to wake up, which means he would brandish his sword al shlosh meos cholol, on 300 dead bodies, bepam echos, in one shot. Now, this person, the first person on the list, is not the same first person on the list at the end of Sefer Shmuel. So let's see first the Mitzudos, and then we'll see Rashi and some Medrash. Rashi says Ve'ele Pasuk Yud Aleph Asher Hechazku Imo Yishavam Hu Yoyshev Vasheves Amar B'Shmuel Beis. Okay, so when it says Yishavam, it says Yishavam Ben Chachmoni, we're not, it was saying it's not just his name. Yeshava means he was Yoshev B'Sheves. Now what does Yoshev mean? He sat in council. Sheves was like what we call today yeshiva. He sits in yeshiva. He sits and learns. He goes to yeshiva. Sheves is the old term for yeshiva. He sat in yeshiva. He was in Koilel. And every so often when they needed him, he went out to war and he wiped out a whole battalion in one shot. But what was his primary occupation? He sat in the Sanhedrin and he learned Torah. Who Yoshev B'Sheves Sam B'Shmuel Beitzki Pisrein Echad Lohem Ben Chachmoni. So when, therefore, what he's doing over here, the Mitzudos is telling us that Yeshavam is not really his name. His name is Ben. We don't even have his name. We're calling him Ben Chachmoni. We're calling him by his father's name, and Yeshavam is just a reference that he's the Talmud Chacham Ben Chachmoni. So here it says in the Mitzudos next words who Techachmoni Ha'amar B'Shmuel Beis. There he's called a little. His name is a little bit different. It's spelled with a tough. Before the ches there's a tough tach ke moni. Yom Shmuel Beis upishu nechalohem kasher ish Yerushalayim yikra ke ben Yerushalayim beYerushalmi. So when it says over here, the reason why he's called chachmoni, he is from the place of the Yud means from a certain place. Just like a Yerushalmi is a person that comes from Yerushalayim, so to Chachmoni, he comes from Chachmon. I guess there's a name of a place called Chachmon. He was from Chachmon. He's called Chachmoni. He is a resident of that city. What did he do, this person? So the Mitzvah goes further. Who oirer rotz leimar? Acha shaharak shlosh meos chalol b'pam ha'echas samach lo after he finished killing 300 people, he was fresh. He was able to take out his sword and wave it as if he's ready to go to another battle. That's what it means. And Shmuel Beis, it refers to him with a different term, that he loved Chachma im Hagvura. Now let me read you the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, so we get a better idea of what over here we're trying to do. It's Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Gimel. Okay, the very end of Shmuel Beis is where we have the list of the warriors of David. Eila Shmos Hagibor. I'm reading now from Shmuel Beis, because let's compare this first person. Eila Shmos Hagibor, Mashal David, Yoshev B'Sheves. So here it says, the first one was Yoshev B'Sheves. Okay, Yoshev B'Sheves. That's equivalent to what it says here, Yosh Yoshavam. Then we have here Tach Kimoni. So we don't call him here, we call him Ben Chachmoni. There we call him Tach Kimoni. He's called here Rosh Hashalishi. That's another important difference. Here we're calling him the Rosh Hashalishim, the head of the 30. Here we're calling him the Rosh Hashalishi. So there are different interpretations. We'll get that in one moment. Who, let's just go further. Who Adino Hoetzni. And here we're actually giving you his name. Here in Seif, in Divrei Hayom, we're not giving you his name. We're just calling him a person who's just calling him Ben Tachimoni. Here his name is Adino Hoetzni. And here it says that he killed not 300 people in battle, but 800 people in battle. Al shmoyne meos cholol b'pam echad. So what's going on over here? So this is all part of the issue. Let's see how Rashi comes to explain some of these contradictions. Pasuk Yud Aleph and Rashi. Rosh HaShalishim. Rosh HaGiborim. Kamo v'Shalishim al kulot. Rashi very clearly translates Shalishim to refer to the captains. Or Eschaniso. Kasher hu nilcham b'mulchama. Lo hoye choyze b'mulchama ad sheyehoreg b'chaniso gimel meos chalol. He would wave his sword and would not return until he would wipe out 300 soldiers. Ben Chachmoni, Rashi, in Shmuel Kosov, Techachmoni, who Oviv. So there we refer to him by the father. And the Yofek Koyach Av mi Koyach Aben, Shekosabo al Shmoine Meos Gibarim Cholob Pamechas. So this is how Rashi answers the Stira. In Sefer Shmuel, we refer to the father. The father was more powerful than the son. The father killed 800 people in one battle. Whereas the son, here it says, Ben Chachmoni, referring to the son, he was only able to kill 300 soldiers in one shot. There we refer to Ben Hashalishi, which literally means he was the Rosh of the three. Here we call him the head of the 30, which means there were different levels of leadership. The highest level of leadership was broken down into three parts. He was the head, the father was head of the three. Whereas here, we're referring to a lower level of leadership where there were many more. He was head of the 30. This Harashi learns. Okay, then we come to another person, which we're not going to go into now. Now let's just go back to the end of the mitzvah. I left out of the mitzvahs. I didn't complete. Go back to Hu Orer. Rots Leimar. We'll read that one more time. There we mention the word chachma. That means the shorish of the word chachmoni comes from the word chachma. Why do we focus on chachma? To teach you another halacha. After he finished killing 800 people, chazal sheves b'yeshivas chachma, he went back to learn. He, even though after a battle you can easily have an excuse and say, I'm too tired, I need to recuperate, I need to refresh myself. No. On the way back from war, he stopped off by the Beis Medrash to hear the latest shir, the latest chidushim. Now, if you take that into account, and I have a little bit of a drush, Baal Kari will appreciate this. How many letters are there on a line in the Sefer Torah?
How many what?
Letters are there on the line of an average line or the length of one line of a Sefer Torah? 30. The Gemara says, L'mishpacho sehem gimel pamim. That's the proper amount of space. There are 30 letters per line. There should be three times the word lemishbicho sehem. So when you make a parchment, if you're a sefer, today everything is already everything is already standardized. It's already done like in a factory. So, but basically, you take your handwriting and you figure out how much space it takes to write lemishbicho sehem. You multiply that by three, and you have three times lemishbicho sehem, 30 letters, and that's a line. That's a line. What? No, so then when you write, but that's the amount of space there should be for a column. From one end, every line, obviously, you can have a different number of letters because you have words and you have blank spaces and you have to justify them properly. But how large should the column be before you begin to write? When you're writing the first line, Bereishis, Berlokim, Esas, Shemaim, so you have to make a column, you have to have sirt, you have to have extra lines in the parchment. The way you decide how large, how wide a column should appear is you take your handwriting, you take the word L'mishpacho Sehem, every sofer is different, and he writes L'mishpacho Sehem, L'mishpacho Sehem, L'mishpacho Sehem, and you take a tape measure, and you see how long that takes to write three times L'mishpacho Sehem. It's basically 30 letters. L'mishpacho Sehem is 10 letters, 10 times 3, and then you take that tape measure, you make that measurement, and then you make a column from here to here is going to be the width of the column, and you do that on top, on the bottom, and then you take an awl and you etch into the parchment, and that is the width of the column. That's what Chazal say. Here, when we're focusing on this person who we give his name, we Adino Hoetzni, and he is referenced as a person that's Yoshev Bashades. He sat Bashades Tachkimoni. The word Tachkimoni, that was his name, which also alludes to Chachma, but more specifically, he sat in the Beis Medrash, and he was the Rosh Hashalishi. He was the head of the captains, which also alludes that he was the top Talmud Chacham. In the yeshiva, you know, there's also a hierarchy. In the yeshivas, there's also a hierarchy. There are the entry-level interns, and then there are the people who are, you know, the assistant rabbis, and then there's the rabbi, and there's a whole hierarchy. And the top, there are three, at least according to this interpretation. Chachma, he was the Rosh. In other words, according to this homiletic, he was the Rosh of Chachma. And how do you refer to a person that's the Rosh of Chachma? Well, all Chachma starts off from a Sefer Torah. And the one line of a Sefer Torah is 30 letters. So here it says Rosh HaShalishi. Someone learned, by the way, that Shalishi is short for Shalishim, for 30. See, here it says Shalishim Amish, Shalishim, with a mem at the end, which Rashi translates it as captains, but also literally means 30. And some of the farshim say 30 means 30 people. But when you want to apply this against the concept of Chachma, it's a way of saying he was the chief Talmud Chacham. Because all Chachma comes from the Torah. And the Torah is arranged in columns of 30 letters. 30 letters per line. That's the opening of the Torah. It's a column of 30 letters. So he was the master of the Torah. It's just a poetic, it's a poetic way of referring to the osios of the Torah. Osios of the Torah arranged in a form of chokhmah. See what I'm saying? Okay, so that is the first of the 37 Giborim of David HaMelech, who participated in spreading the word, convincing Klal Yisrael, campaigning that David is meant to be the king of a Klal Yisrael. Okay, so Monday, Emir Tashem will go on to the second person. The second one was Elazar ben Dodo. We'll pick it up on Emir Tashem Monday.